It's Mail It In Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Well, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around and putting it into boxes.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. We're live at the Royal York ahead of the Special Olympics Limitless Gala tonight. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, knee brace and all for the kid. And you know what you pick up on when you have a knee brace?
Other knee brace people?
There's a lot of other knee brace people kicking around, just grinding their way through the rat race of life.
But different fashion style.
Yes.
Because knee brace on the outside of the jeans. Have you seen any of that?
Well, that's me, dude.
I know.
I've got the big, cumbersome knee brace. I can't wear it under the pants.
But you should be wearing a pair of sweats.
Like we're at the Royal York, though.
I know.
Mean, it's a big kind of black tie event, and I don't want to be that guy.
Suit guy with a pair of sweats.
I almost did that at my cousin's wedding last weekend.
Why didn't you just bail out of the wedding?
I want to get out of the house, and it's my cousin's wedding, and I said I'd be there, and I was, and I had a good time. I mean, it was good to get down there, but I just connected, like locked eyes with a young woman in a
boot.
Kind of a boot, like a foot cast, and we have a connection. We've got a connection.
Was that your first time at the wedding, getting in one?
I did not get in one. I had a couple of beers, but I'm still taking, like, some medication.
Yeah, you throw a little Percocet behind that. He's
you're
it's not good.
Neck dart.
Exactly.
You've got a dart in your neck.
A dart in his neck.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That would have literally been me.
What does he do there? He's at a, what was that, a birthday party for kids, and somebody threw a, what was it, what do they call it, a like blow dart?
Yeah, like a poison dart.
It's a tranquilizer.
Tranquilizer gun in the neck, and he attacks.
Doesn't he just get rinsed and go in the pool, falls in the pool?
Well, he drags the cake into the pool.
But he attacks like a, not a stuffed animal, but a blow-up doll, like he thought it was a
That's Will Ferrell in Old School. If you haven't seen the movie, you have no idea what we're talking about. But
yeah, everyone's heard. Everyone's seen that scene as well as the "We're going streaking." Everyone knows those are household, I guess.
They're pop culture bits that everyone's familiar with.
For sure.
What would also be included in that is Silence of the Lambs, and that was on AMC yesterday, and I got caught just knee deep in Silence of the Lambs, and
it's creepy.
I've seen it probably 20 or 25 times. It's 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And old Buffalo Bill's doing work, and it's just creeping me out.
It is. I remember.
I still think it's one of the greatest movies ever.
It's a spectacular movie. Spectacular movie. But
I saw it opening night in a theater.
Hang on, I got her card in the bar.
It was terrifying.
Are you a size 14?
Yeah, like just a terrifying movie.
Yeah, Buffalo Bill. And
the worst part is the scene near the end where she's got the night vision goggles on.
He has the night vision goggles.
She's in the room.
That's the most courageous move in cinematic history. The fact that she went into that basement, I would have run for the hills. If that guy ran into the basement, I'd be like, see you later.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why are you going in?
I have no idea why she went down there. I'd be like, take her. I'm out of here. I'm calling for backup, and if you sneak out the back door, go ahead. I don't care. There's no way I'm going into the basement. There's not a chance.
You're right. Like, why did she even go in?
Hero move from Jodie Foster. Anyway, Ray's going to join us here in a moment. The Leafs are coming off. I'm not sure how to describe that win last night. A survival win, a Freddie Anderson first star, second star, third star routine.
You need the
goalie
to steal you one.
Mike Babcock, he sent something. I don't know if he had a convo with Hines or whatever, but he said before the game, this is going to be a very, very tight game. And who the hell says that when you have two of the highest scoring teams in the NHL? But you know what? It was. Try being on the panel for that. It's like,
But it wouldn't
the old
have been
quiz master circling the panel, and it's like, what do you got? And I'm like, what do I got? Nothing.
Well, you got Freddie Anderson.
That's it.
Jersey put up 40 shots, and he made some, like, ridiculous.
He was spectacular in overtime.
The save before Nylander's goal, with the right pad, like the block on the right pad. Brilliant. And how about, we haven't even talked about Nylander's. He was so bagged at the end of that shift, he didn't even celebrate. He just glided backwards.
Well, and I saw some people suggesting that he was too cool to celebrate.
No, he had no wind left in his lungs.
He would have Yakupov'd that celebration if he just got on the ice. He was so tired.
Yeah, he'd gone up two or three times up and down the ice already.
And it was kind of a fluky play the way it worked out, and it looked like it was misdirected, and Schneider played really well too, and it was...
I didn't like the goal on Schneider. It's a great shot, but he cheated. He actually cheated blocker side, and Nylander put it off the post glove.
Speaking of cheating, how about Taylor Hall?
Yeah, he was looking to... I don't know if he thought that there wasn't enough time on the clock. He just
literally
opened
the door. Well, that's situational awareness. You got to know what the time on the clock is, that it's dying down, and you chop somebody at their ankles at the... You take a cross... You do whatever you can.
It's a perfect example of how... He was the best player on the ice last night by a country mile. He was outstanding.
Yeah.
But plays like that, they mark a player. You cannot.
Well, people are going to say that play right there is why he's there. He wasn't a part of the Edmonton thing. They wanted to let him go.
Exactly.
It's because of a play like that. Because ultimately, they put it into a situation where it's like, you're not a winner.
Let's bring in Ray Ferraro joining us on Overdrive, and it's brought to you by Valiant Financial. Did you pick up on what Taylor Hall was doing there? I mean, there was only like 2 or 3 seconds left, but he just mailed that one right in.
I didn't, mainly because when the puck went into the corner where Nylander went to pick it up, I looked up and I'm like, my thought was it was done. You know,
it's
like
over.
they're going to a shootout. Like, he was so tired. If you remember on that rush up the ice, it was almost a 2-on-1 and he spun backwards and made some kind of pass. Like, he had nothing. Like, he had no gas left. And then somehow the puck ended up coming back to him. And, you know, Noodles, I don't know if that shot deflected off the D-man or if it went straight over, but it was a weird shot.
It
looked like he almost got it off the toe of his stick, like there was nothing on it.
I think what happened, I watched it about 10 times last night because I was wondering, like, the thought process of Schneider. I think there was a slight screen, and he went to just cheat blocker side. Right-handed shot, he's going to probably go blocker. And Schneider was surprised. If you actually look at his body language afterwards, it was almost like, where the hell did that come from? Because guaranteed he knew the clock as well. Like, he knew that everyone was out of wind, and it was just kind of a broken play. And he's probably looking back at the replay as well and saying, like, Taylor, you probably could have thrown a stick in there to impede the lane as well. But it ended up a broken play.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, now as you guys were talking about it, I wish I would have had a cleaner focus on that, on Hall. I was busy pumping his tires all night. I thought, like you said, Brian, he was by far, like, not even close to the best guy. I mean, by a mile. He was everywhere. He had that chance in overtime as well, just prior. That Anderson made the blocker save on.
Yeah.
And then he fogs out or makes a mistake, but, you know, I don't know. I think he's looked awesome last night. I think, you know, I know that they're really happy with him, that he's had he's got 19 points. He's had a hell of a start, and he fogged out on a play that he probably shouldn't have, but, you know, I'm going to hang that more on the goalie than...
Yeah.
You know,
well,
which sucked because both guys were awesome last night. I want to say that's the best game, start to finish, I've seen Freddie Anderson play even back into last year. I thought he was amazing last night.
Oh, that's his best game of the season. It's not even up for debate.
O said that as well. He thought that was his best game as a Maple Leaf, and I can't argue that. I came back with one. I just thought game six against Washington, he was brilliant as well, and especially with the stage that much more under the microscope. But last night he was locked in, and Brian keeps talking about kind of a timeline now of Anderson. With the last year, he started slow. He came off the injury and then really hit his stride in November, and we're seeing that right now again.
Whatever he does in the summer, he better kick it in gear a month earlier or something, because he stinks in October, and he's really good once the calendar turns, isn't he?
Yeah.
2 years in a row.
It's eerie, Ray. Like, it's really weird. that he can be that big of a tire fire in October, and then all of a sudden the calendar flips and the guy's like, all right, Vezina, we're going for the Vezina.
Maybe he jumps in some Halloween candy and off he goes.
I guess. I mean, there's a comfort level. But like I said earlier, if these trends are to be believed, that's a good sign come playoff time because he was a stud in the playoffs. So I'll give you, if you have to mail it in October and show up later in the season because it's only six games against Washington, but he played really well. And if that's what he's going to do is perform as the season goes on and maybe improve as the season goes on, I'll take that every day of the week.
Well, I thought last night was pretty interesting for them to win because, of course, they don't have Matthews. I didn't think Kadri had anything last night. Like, you know, when you look at a guy and you're like, man, he's got no legs tonight.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For whatever reason, that he didn't have anything last night. So they're kind of missing their top two centers. Marlowe wasn't even in the picture last night, and they still win. And so they're finding a way. Even, you know, early in the year it was all the goals and all the offense, and you know last night it was goaltending, and you know, and they killed off that penalty with O's favorite stat. You know, Hainsey played 3 minutes of a 2 minute penalty, and you know, he never came off the ice again. It was amazing. Last night, I think at one point they were shorthanded for 4 minutes, and he'd been out there 3 minutes and 48 seconds. I've never really seen anything like it, to tell you the truth, but they held on, and probably a lot of that last night was Anderson. He made a couple of awesome saves when they were killing that penalty in overtime.
Ray, what the hell is the Hainsey stuff? It's not like this guy will be dead by January 1st. Like, is this Mike Babcock sending a message saying, get me some defensemen here? It has to be.
I think they look down there and they don't trust anybody else.
I know, but let's get serious here. This is his ego getting involved here, and him saying, you don't want to get me anybody. I have to leave two guys out there for 2 minutes. That's the kind of thing he would do. There's no other reason that this would happen.
Well, I think it would be nonsensical to think that that Babcock and Lamoriello get along or agree on every decision that needs to be made. Coaches and managers always see things a little bit differently, and so I don't discount though what you're saying at all. That you know that there's different ways that coaches try to get their way, and there's no question they need somebody else to kill penalties. If Carrick can't kill penalties, then they got to find somebody else in that spot. If they don't believe Borgman can, well, then you got two guys that play 5-on-5 minutes, but only against the bottom two lines. Like, that's a pretty specialized D, if specialized is the right word. You know, that's a pretty limited defense pair. And you might as well go find somebody that can give you a couple of minutes, either on the penalty kill or on the power play, if they don't trust anybody else. Because the other thing it does is it zips Zaitsev in particular of any energy to get into a rush. If they're out there the whole time killing penalties, they can't jump into the play. You can't get into the gas tank when there's nothing there. And that's kind of where they're going to get to with both of them. But you're right, Hainsey's 38. I don't know how the hell he's going to keep doing that.
No, he'll end up turning to dust by January. How would you like to be a healthy scratch and get an extension for $925 today?
Oh boy, I played a lot of years not getting to $925, I'll tell you that. That's I know it's probably done a day or two ago and they announced it today, but you know, that's a pretty good work week. 4 days off and a 1 year contract extension.
Well, it's Josh Levo, we should point out, and Levo, yeah. I was a bit surprised that Soshnikov got in over him last night, and I'm with you. If I'm Josh Levo, and I know he's got a lot of supporters out there, a lot of people that push, hey, he should be in there, what are you gonna do with him? Don't Frankie Corrado him. You signed this contract with the biggest smile on earth. Like you're not an established NHLer, and they just keep handing you money and security. Take it.
And because whether they give it to you or not, nothing's going to change your lot in life until you can get past that restricted free agency age. So now they're giving you $9.25 to continue doing what you're doing, which is to practice. And even if he didn't sign it, nobody was going to offer him. Like, the thing about, oh, he's going to be a restricted free agent, so what? Nobody's going to offer anything anyway. Nobody offers anybody restricted free agent contracts.
Right.
So they must like him at some level, But I would assume that the one thing with Soshnikov is they've got to find out a little bit here what exactly they have, because whether it's tomorrow or 3 months from now or in the summer, he's going to look for some kind of commitment. He's got a trump card that he can go back home, and maybe he'll use it. So they got to find out what they have. Do they have an asset that they want to do something with, or do they have an asset that in the long run they don't think can play? Because right now I don't know how you would know.
Well, there might be another angle to this Levo contract as well, is that it's under the threshold of money that you can bury in the minors if he does get through waivers.
Right.
But it also might increase the likelihood that he can get through waivers, because there might be a few teams out there that don't have owners that want to spend money on a guy or don't want to bury cash, who sit there and say, well, we take a flyer on him to see what we have, but I don't want another year on top of it. What if he can't play? What if we claim him and he can't play?
Also, and I'll jump in here too, Ray, I want to hear your thoughts. To me, it also, if a team does want him, they've got cost certainty on him next year as well. So that's something where...
Do you think it's more likely he'd get claimed because of an extra year on his deal?
No, but you just know what you're claiming, to your point. It's 9.25.
It's not like 3 years at 2.5,
right,
or
like
some
it's,
garbage
it's,
like that.
Yeah, right. I almost lean to Brian here that if they decided they were going to try and flip him through now, you have this year and next year to pay him. Whereas... up until yesterday or today or whatever it was, when the deal was agreed to, it would just be the rest of the year. Maybe somebody doesn't want to take that step, but the one thing, too, about this is until he plays and plays quasi-regularly, how does anybody know if he's any good or not? Like, how he doesn't even know.
No.
It's kind of the 925 is awesome. Good for him. As Babcock likes to say, well, good for him and good for us. But if at the end of it, there's still no idea whether he's any more qualified to be an NHL player or not, the only thing that's happened is he's put a few more beans in his bank account. But he's still no more closer to realizing being an NHLer or not. You know, I mean, I'm sure at some point he's like, damn, this is awesome, and as you said, Brian, sign the contract with the biggest smile on your face, but, man, I want to play. Eventually, I just want to play.
Well, I think there's a guy in Philly that's going to lose some beans soon, and that would be Radko Gudas after what happened in Winnipeg last night. If you missed it, he came down and he slashed the top of the head of Matthew Perreault, kind of neck slash head.
Yeah.
And this guy's had some idiocy in his game for a long time. He's got a history of doing dumb things, multiple suspensions throughout his career. And now, you know, for the first time since he took over the role, you circle George Parros. And you say, okay, George, you wanted this gig. You wanted to take over the discipline in the National Hockey League. Let's see what you got, because I get the impression, like, no one's going to react to too many games, but there will be a loud reaction if there aren't enough games on this suspension.
I'm wrong almost every time when I guess a suspension. And it seems like we haven't done much of this over the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 months of play, which has been kind of nice. But does this not look like 10 games?
Easily.
Given his history and, like, he looked like he was chopping an apple, like it was on a steak. Like if he could have really hurt him. And the fact that he didn't shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
It really shouldn't matter.
We were talking off air. He's a repeat offender, and I saw you on Twitter debating with somebody down south about, you know, he didn't accident, like, he knew what he was doing. Like, guys know what they're doing. Like, there's the accidental on purpose. Like, when you're a repeat offender and it shouldn't be on a potential injury, it's on the act. And I would be shocked if he doesn't get a dime. I don't think he's going to get 20 or anything, but I think he's going to get a 10 spot.
If he doesn't, what does the repeat offender mean?
Yeah.
It means nothing. Like, he's been, he got 6 games with that last year and 3 games the year before, and he plays, like, all this stuff you're going to hear in the next, you know, that will come out of Philly where they start defending the player, and they'll say, oh, you know, he plays close to the edge, and I don't care how close to the edge he plays. He just clubs somebody over the head. Yeah. And the example I used is, oh, I'm sure you did it, but when a guy would run you and you'd fall backwards and then accidentally just bonk him right on top of the head with your stick. and you'd, you know, just in other words, don't do that anymore. Like, but you'd make it look like you were falling. Glenn Anderson was unreal at it. He'd fall and then with one hand he'd just spin over and just like tomahawk somebody. Yeah. Well, you can't do that anymore. And you know, Gudas can say, oh, sorry, it was an accident. I lost my balance. That's, I don't buy it. I don't buy it for a second. And I hope Peros doesn't either.
Almost every team in the league is in and around 20 games played. This generally is the barometer in terms of trying to project where the season's going and trying to really evaluate what you actually have. And there are two Canadian teams that had high expectations this year. That would be Edmonton and Montreal, who have really underperformed. The Habs lost at home in regulation to Arizona last night. That's a punchline. And Edmonton got spanked again by St. Louis at home last night. Which team do you think has the better case for throwing out the first 20 games and saying, don't take it into consideration. We're still the real deal. We're going to figure this out.
Edmonton. Only because I didn't pick Montreal to make the playoffs anyway. And I still don't know where the goals are going to come from. You know, I'm more surprised that Edmonton's just fallen off the table offensively. But I don't like the construction of Montreal's team, and I don't know why all of a sudden it's going to be a more high-powered team or a more consistent team. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I'm with you on Montreal. I mean, I'll say this about Edmonton, tracking them the way we all do because of McDavid. Yeah. And
there's an odor out there somewhere.
There's something weird going on there because, you know, if McDavid and Draisaitl, they've had a couple of off nights again last night, like some strange nights where you're like, wait a minute. And I know there's so much pressure on them because everything goes through them. Right. And Nugent Hopkins had a sneaky good year offensively. He's put up good numbers.
Very good player.
Good player.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's McDavid, Draisaitl, and Talbot. Those three have to win them a game, and if they don't, they lose. And if that continues, they're not going to turn this around.
But how do you change it? Like that, you know, like that. There's the problem for Edmonton. Is like, okay, so I'm with you guys. Like something smells bad out there. It really does. And but to make it different, how would you possibly do that? The only guy they could probably trade. I mean, they're not going to trade Nurse. The only guy you could trade would be Nugent Hopkins. And then they've got nobody else that can score or that has scored this year.
Right.
So then they're, like, I think they're in a little bit of a tough spot here. And as much as you can shift the deck chairs around, you guys are right. Their big boys have to carry the day or they're not deep enough to win from lower in their lineup.
I agree. And, you know, another team, and it's not really worthy of a long conversation, but the other team that I actually thought was going to be a playoff team and looks horrendous is Dallas. It's the same habits. You go and get Ben Bishop, yeah, but it's they play the same way. Hitch must be losing it. We all know what Hitch is like behind the scenes.
The video that they must be doing right now must be just incredible.
They got rinsed last night. Was it last night?
Yeah, 6-1? It was in Tampa. But it's Tampa, man. Tampa's crushing everybody right now.
I know,
now.
But I mean, I went back and watched a good chunk. Like, Dallas has terrible habits, and they've got skilled players. Tyler Seguin should have just taken his gear off last night.
But like, that's the thing, Noodles. I don't know if you can teach old dogs new tricks. You might be able to teach one of them, but you think Jason Spezza is going to drastically change his game at 34?
He ain't turning into Guy Carbonneau anytime.
It's not happening. You know, Radulov got the money, and he's down there, and it's kind of like, okay. You know, it's not my team. He doesn't have to be the superstar, so he's just going to plug along, and whatever Seguin, Ben, and Spezza and the old boys that have been down there for years are going to do that. That's the tone that gets set.
They have surprised me. Calgary surprised me as well. Mm-hmm. I thought they would be a little more, a little better defensively. I thought they'd defend, their defense would be better than it has been. Hamonic was not very good the last year or so in New York, and he's not been very good in Calgary.
No, not good at all.
Man, and that's, I think they really counted on this being a really big piece. And then if Mike Smith doesn't hold together, like if whatever they, you know, whatever he ties himself together with, he's going to have to play 65 games because I think Noodles has got a better chance of getting the next start before Eddie Lack.
Jose Theodore.
Yes, Jose Theodore.
Right now, I think Theodore, oh, because of you, he's burning his equipment just in case somebody calls. He's like, get that away
he's
from
thrown
me.
It in the St. Lawrence River or whatever, in the river in Montreal, for
well,
sure.
How would you rank the top three Canadian teams as of today?
Boy.
I think Winnipeg's one.
You'd put Winnipeg one.
Winnipeg and Toronto are right there, and then Ottawa behind them.
That's my top three. I Toronto, Winnipeg are right there.
Yeah,
and
I think they're kind of one and one A. Doesn't take your pick with a healthy Matthews and all that. Like they're right there. Winnipeg,
Ottawa's three, and then you can flip flop whatever you want.
The truth is, you could make a case for Vancouver four based on the way they play.
No question.
Unless you watched last night.
Yeah, they lost to Vegas last night, and it wasn't a spirited
Greeny
effort.
A little bit of a.
It wasn't
they were stinky. They were stinky PUE last night.
And,
and so it's funny today out here, you know, I get back home and I turn on the radio and, you know, today's poll question, you know, are you disappointed? And like, disappointed. And I'm like, what did you think they were going to be?
Oh.
Like they're 9-8-3 and that's what they, you know, I mean, I think they've had a tremendous start.
Yeah,
like,
they have.
I don't think they're a playoff team. They're just, last night they could have, as you mentioned about Sagan, I mean, like, they could have put, a couple of the guys could have had their suits on under their gear and they wouldn't have sweat stained them. Like, they were brutal last night.
I'd be disappointed that they've overperformed. I think Vancouver was bracing for Dahlin, bracing for a tank.
But
let's be horrendous.
There's that 10th spot right there. Like, there's the outside the playoffs, but
that's what
not
I'm saying.
At the bottom.
That's too much. Like, they got to start losing.
Did you see that highlight of Dahlin again last night?
Oh, he's spectacular.
Rasmus Dahlin, oh my gosh. Like, he must have really good skate sharpening because he goes around those guys like, it's astounding to watch. I can hardly wait to watch him at the junior tournament to see what he looks like. Because last year, remember how good Sergachev and Shabbat and McAvoy were?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they were a year older than Dahlin is going to be. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's going to look like.
Yeah, he's the real deal. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again Monday at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then, guys. Have a good weekend.
Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Yeah, if I'm in Vancouver, I'm like, stop. That's enough. Lose as many games as you can.
There's a chance, I think, as the season goes on, that they're going to head in that direction. You know, the reason why I actually said Winnipeg so quick, we'll get into it in the back.
No. Listen, you can make that
like
after
their defensive core a little bit better than the Leafs.
They started 0-2, I believe. They're 11-2-3 since then.
Yeah.
Like, they have been very impressive, Winnipeg.
But they mirror each other a lot. It's just, O brought up a great point about Winnipeg reminds him, and I actually agree with him a lot, of how when L.A. was first starting to put it together, like big, mean, a lot of skill, and kind of built up the middle. Like, they like, this is a team that's real solid. Like, and
Hellebuck looks really good.
Well, he's stabilized, right? You need a goalie to stabilize. And the kid's 24.
Mm.
Like, nobody wanted to give him a pass at 23, but they were, Laine could score on himself. And you know, he's young, he's learning the league. Why can't the Hellebuck learn the league? And
well, Steve Mason, I mean, if he plays more than 10 games,
they've gotten
to
a point where they
play
they're afraid to put him in
whatever
the
it is, 10,
right.
15. But he is Curtis McElhinney.
You're right, and it may have been more money out of your pocket, but it's an investment. It may have lit a fire under Hellebuck saying, okay, hold on a second. Everyone's talking about Mason. I'm the guy. And so, you know, maybe a $4.2 million investment that's paying off so far.
Indirectly.
Indirectly.
Right. We're live at the Royal York ahead of the Special Olympics Limitless Gala. A few former Olympians will join us. Pinball Clemens, Bobby Mack.
Yeah.
How about the suit on Bob McKenzie kicking around the Royal York?
That's
We've already seen him. A-plus for a Friday night at the Royal York. So Bobby Mack will join us. That's a good-looking suit you got there, too. Is
Thanks,
that one
Paul.
Of Craig's ties? Have you broken out one of Craig's
ties yet? I haven't.
Ties
in the
yet?
Truck.
Of course they are. In the truck.
In the trunk.
No, not the trunk. They're in the back seat.
So the back seats become the new trunk because the trunk is full.
No.
Old Craigie brings ties all the way from Calgary.
No. Jeff bought the ties. So he didn't. It's not like he bought them for me.
But he still brought them for you.
Yeah.
He went to the store to collect them and packed them and brought them in.
Yeah, so it's been all of half a day, and I wore a black suit for this event, and there's not really a black tie option.
I'm just saying. You could have dragged those puppies inside last night.
Get serious.
Get the ties inside. We're going to be joined again by a bunch of people throughout the afternoon. We're live at the Royal York. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. We are live at the Royal York ahead of the Special Olympics Limitless Gala tonight. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Pinball will join us later this afternoon. Bobby Mack coming up. But as we promised, former Olympians, the true celebrities, have joined us around the table, at least one of them. And I'm a little bit concerned about the setup, the headphone setup here, because our next guest has one of the best salads in the history of sports.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with it.
And that would be former Olympian Kurt Harnett. Are you worried about the hair since
always,
you're doing radio here?
Always got to be concerned about the hair, but Pinball's going to be on later? That's awesome.
Pinball's
Come
coming
on.
Up later.
Come on.
Pinball's coming up later. Do you ever rock the curls anymore? Like the curls you used to wear at the Olympics.
Well, that was the Sammy Hagar days, right?
Didn't you?
It was like the whole Samson
one year?
Thing. It's my hair. It depends on how much gel I put in my hair. And today, seriously, I was walking around with a toque on, so it just kind of straightens out the hair, and it's like a different look. You know, the people always comment on how it. I don't want to say the ladies, because of course, you know, I'm here with my lovely wife.
Right, Gloria, you got to be careful.
I want to talk about how. They still, you know, people still want to have this conversation, right, about this. You know, and again, people, Kurt Harnett, who the hell are you? We're never really sure, right? They'll Google me, right? The first thing that you do, I go speak at schools, they Google Kurt. What, you know, what's one of the top three things that comes up? The shampoo commercial.
Well, we were talking about Canada and the different sports and where people have success. And you were cycling. We were saying, how come we don't have a great soccer team? Like, how come Canada in a cold weather? You got there in cycling. How come we can't get it?
That's like, I think, one of the biggest nuts to crack. That is, you know, again, who doesn't play soccer as a kid? You know, how does that not translate into us doing and dominating? Of course, because we do have one of the best women's soccer teams.
Right. Constantly
but how,
top
how can
10.
We not have? How can we not have and do the same thing on the men's side? At least get, you know, at least crack the top 20 or top 25 in the world. So somewhere along the way. I think it's the sport that's played on ice that kind of gets in the way.
Is it
familiar with it yourself, Jeff, but I'm...
Is it funding? I mean, because everyone talks about the U.S. Olympic programs, that it's just whatever the cost, whatever you have to do, you're going to get it done. And I don't really
100%
know...
100% privately funded, by the way, the USOC programs, right?
Well, I don't
private
I,
money.
I don't hear ever anyone talking about Canada like that.
Nope. No, and the thing is that's what we're up against is in some ways, but, you know, ultimately, money is not the answer. And it helps, obviously, to set up the system and help build the program and give the pathway. You know, Soccer Canada is a strong organization, does very well, but it's just somewhere along the lines, right? We lose that talent pool. I'm not the expert. I'm not there, but, you know, I guess maybe them... I am proof that somewhere along the line we'll be able to pluck somebody out of the woodwork and take them down a journey that they never considered before, which is a program that actually I'm involved with RBC called RBC Training Ground. And it's this great talent identification. We're looking for the next Olympian, and we've gone across Canada, tested over 4,000 athletes. And for myself, kind of inspires me to see that, you know what, actually the future for sport in Canada is actually pretty fresh. We've got lots of opportunity out there, and we're looking for that next generation athlete, that second generation career for our second career opportunity, hockey players, soccer players, gymnasts, like the number of gymnasts that came to this program.
So have you been involved in it to a point where you actually see a young athlete and you're like, that kid's got something?
Yeah, it's crazy because the way that we test these athletes is through various stations, and it's a variety of skills, right? So the athlete that actually wins the overall for the regional qualifier, right?
Right.
The athlete wins it all is actually quite diverse, and actually maybe has a lot of opportunity to go and maybe a few or four, you know, three or four different sports, figure that out. But we'll find athletes that get on the bike and they do a 6-second sprint and they produce 2,000 watts and a pair of gym shorts and sneakers, and you're going, hey, maybe we got to get you out to the Velodrome in Milton, the Mattamy National Cycling Center, get you out there and, you know, get you on a bike and see if you can, if we could translate what you just did here onto the actual surface, right? So it for myself, it's really, really exciting. And, you know, again, when we're talking sport and we're talking about what it where we are as Canadians,
right,
you know, we can't help but see and have a chat about where we are here with Special Olympics. And you know when I got it, we were just chatting offline a little bit about, you know, how long I've been involved. 26 years I've been here.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's inspiring and it's amazing, because the Special Olympics program, what it provides to these, you know, these young adults with intellectual disabilities, the confidence that it builds, the opportunities that it presents to them and opens the doors that it opens for them,
yeah,
is really, really inspiring. For me, it's one of those things of why I come back, to fill the cup back up and get out there and promote sport on a daily basis.
We're live at the Royal York ahead of the Special Olympics Limitless Gala, and Kurt Harnett joining us around the table here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. We were just goofing on O because he got ties yesterday, not a ton of value to them, but he throws them in his car and then he doesn't pay attention to them. I get stuff all the time. I do the same stuff. I bring stuff home and I don't care about it, even though it does have sentimental value. Please tell me you know where your medals are, the Olympic medals that you won. Do you have a clue where they are, or do you just chuck that kind of stuff and it doesn't mean that much to you?
Safe or a lockbox or
something? One of the best stories I have with my medals, and I think I know where they are. They're hanging at the front door, actually. I didn't just say that. by the way, huge security system at the house.
Right.
So, yeah.
But I was going out to speak at a school, and really the value of the medals, of those medals that I have, to me, they are what they are to me. But when you put them in the hands of people, and especially young kids, you see their eyes light up. But I've had grown men cry with these medals in their hands, because it sparks a memory, an Olympic memory to them. And it doesn't have to be watching me race my bike. They recall this amazing moment, this amazing Olympic moment that they had, and they get to see this medal. But I was going out to speak at this group, a school, and I said, hey, bring your medals with you. So I scoured the house, couldn't find them anywhere. It was like, where the heck are they? And I remembered that my daughter had been playing with them, and she had a basket full of stuffies, you know, stuffed animals, whatever. And there in that basket were, you know, the one teddy bear, you know, sort of higher up on the podium, and they had a medal. All three medals were stuck, you know, in that basket. So to me, they don't belong on a mantle. They don't, you know, belong stored away somewhere. I think that they need to be brought out and sort of passed around the group. If you look at them, they're quite beat up. Again, they mean something to me, for me specifically, and my family and the team, the people that were behind me that got me to where I was going. But they're, you know, that I haven't necessarily got them sitting in the back on the floor of my car,
right,
forgotten underneath the fast food bags.
I hear you. See, that would be so cool. I mean, it's like a cup ring. It's like any
well, of all the things that
symbol,
I've collected,
right?
All that's left. And it's not like when you're an athlete, you don't want your people to walk in your house and all you have is hockey pictures and cycling pictures. But my gold medal from the World Juniors, my little replica trophy that my kids destroyed and it's almost broken, the top's ripped off it, and a written piece, The Hip, that's the Bill Barocco song. That's the only three things that hang in my house.
Right.
The rest, I had to tell my parents. I'm like, look, can you put this in your storage room, because I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of goalie stuff and trophies.
I keep my mask and stuff, but I keep it like nothing. If you walk into my house, you wouldn't know I played in the NHL. Yeah.
When I was reading the news about people like guys like Guy Lafleur selling off all their stuff, I'm like, is that guy crazy? But now that I get older, I'm starting to think I could actually see how he does that.
Well, you can make a lot of money. Like, you make a lot of money. But it's about sentimental value too, right, Kurt? Like, how do you place...
I got shelves full of Canada clothing.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And again, we've just led the team into the Pan Am Games in 2015, got a sack of clothes that way.
You got a hoodie for me?
I've got a I've got several. In fact, I can bring a few, and I can. You can have your choice.
Hook them up.
It is. It, you know, and I took the team through through Rio last summer, and you know, you just end up with so much stuff that way. But it is, and I think it's kind of funny sometimes when you sort of reflect back on that. One of the interesting things I did do was I kept all my bikes that I raced at the Olympics.
Yeah,
so all of
cool.
those bikes, and I've got my first Olympic bikes at the Sports Hall of Fame, Northwestern Ontario Sports Hall of Fame up in Thunder Bay. My other bike, the bike that I raced in 96 is at the Olympic, or the sort of the Canada Sports Hall of Fame in Calgary. We're just going to set up one of my bike from the 88 Olympics and send it over to Milton at the Mattamy National Cycling Center, put it on display there.
That's
but
cool.
It just, you know, like those things, I actually kept those, but they're sitting in my parents' basement in Winnipeg, and my father's going, you know, I'm thinking about selling the house.
Get rid
now,
of this stuff.
Along with my Depeche Mode extended mix records that I have sitting in there. At that time, I wanted to be a DJ for about a month and a half.
Yeah. Well, we can't thank you enough for popping by and being such a big part of such a great night, and you seem to do it all the time. They're always calling on you, and you're always willing to come out, so we appreciate you stopping by and chatting with us, and enjoy it tonight.
Well, thank you guys for being here, because again, sort of promoting this movement and really what Special Olympics provides to us as individuals, it really is the true value of sport. It shows it and it presents it in such a way. You meet these athletes here tonight, and you just kind of walk away and you go, right? It just is. It's inspiring to see them and how they are presenting themselves, the courage, the confidence that they exude, and really when you talk to them about their sport success, it's, you know, it's just really amazing conversations. We raise a lot of money tonight to help fund these programs across Canada and get these athletes out there performing to their best abilities.
Can't wait. Enjoy it tonight.
You guys have a great night yourself.
You too. There he is, Kurt Harnett, one of the great Canadian athletes of all time, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out the new 2018s and get rates starting at 0% plus receive 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. Go to MapleToyota.com. Kurt Harnett joining us around the table. Rosie McLennan. Rosie McLennan.
Little different spelling. She's
little
the
bit.
M-A-C. I'm an MC.
A fellow trampoline expert.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Give it a bounce.
She's a trampoliner herself. Multiple gold medal winner.
How about him sliding in? He's got a hoodie for me.
Why not? If you're just sitting around, I'll take one.
Get one from the 96 games.
Imagine me trying to peel that thing on. He was probably 170 pounds at that time.
Oh, cut. Shredded.
Yeah, I was looking at some pictures of him online. You're right. He's just shredded.
Yeah, I don't need the hoodie.
No. No guy.
I don't think he's got an XL. He's probably got a medium or a large. Although he's a big guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a great athlete. We enjoy him, and we appreciate him popping by. Pinball's coming up. Bobby Mack, Rosie McLennan. Again, we're live at the Royal York ahead of the Special Olympics Limitless Gala tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the board in the NFL on Sunday, I'm fading the Lions. I mean, I don't love the Bears, but I'm getting +4 at home against the Bears. I feel like Detroit might win that, but they scream that kind of team that throws away games, and this would be an example of one. I'm fading the Browns. I will lay the points, 8.5, Jacksonville in Cleveland, and I'm fading the Bills. I don't care who's playing quarterback, and definitely if it's Jay Peterman, I will fade him in the Bills on the road in L.A. taking on the Chargers. Throw down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. We're live at the Royal York Special Olympics Gala tonight. Bobby Mack will join us. Pinball ahead of a big game on Sunday, the first Argos playoff game at BMO Field. And the weather is supposed to be awful all weekend.
That's not
good.
It's
getting nasty out.
Yeah,
it is starting to get ugly. I'll
Real
be on
ugly.
The slopes soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm taking it easy.
Need a couple
weekend.
More weeks. We need a couple more weeks of really good weather. That's what my fingers are crossed.
I'm
Selfishly.
With you, but I mean, beggars can't be choosers. We got a great September, a great October.
Yeah, we've had a good run.
It's game over.
Yeah, like it's Canada and it's mid-November.
It was a little bit rainy sleet last night in Ottawa and windy.
Ugly.
It was not good.
Ugly.
And I think it's headed down here.
Leafs coming off a big win last night. We'll look back on it, tee up the Habs. Leafs tomorrow night. Knicks in town tonight taking on the Raps, and the Argos in action on Sunday. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.